All right. Thank you so much, Jess, and good evening, everybody. My name is Eric Lundy, and I'm a grassroots campaigner here at Move On. I'm based out of Raleigh, North Carolina. And I'm so excited and so glad to be here with you tonight. As you can hear, I'm joined by my colleague, Jess Stein, who is also a grassroots campaigner. And in just a few minutes, we're going to be joined by Anna Galland, who is Move On's executive director, and, of course, by Congressman Keith Ellison, who's been a great progressive champion. Tonight we have Move On members on the phone from really all over the country. It's really exciting to sit here and see the number of folks who are getting on the call rise literally by the second. And I think it's really just a testament to how active and how engaged and how ready folks are to really continue the great organizing that's been happening over the summer and really kick it into high gear. The goal of tonight's call is that Congressman Ellison, is going to spend a few minutes just talking to us about some of the issues that he really thinks are going to be really hot-button issues once Congress comes back from their recess. He'll also spend a couple of minutes talking about the best ways that we can actually reach out and talk to our elected officials. Then we're all going to actually talk to each other and have a discussion about, given those issues, how can we first of all make sure that our voices are heard on those issues, and then how can we organize to elevate the other issues that we care about, whether they're at a state level, a national level, or a local level. And as I was sitting here tonight getting ready for this call, I was thinking about how we can use this call to really project our organizing into the end of the summer and into the fall months. I stepped back and I thought about this summer and thought about how amazing of a summer it's been and just how much has happened this summer, both good and bad. When you think about the Supreme Court rulings that we had, when you think about a lot of the fights that have happened at the state level, whether they be in Texas or my home state of North Carolina, or lots of other states. When you think about the battle over immigration, different conservative suggestions to defund the government, to defund Obamacare and shut down the government. It's really amazing just how much has been happening politically over the past few months. And it's even more amazing to look at all the great organizing that Move On members have been doing, whether it's holding hundreds of events in local communities against fracking or taking part in the Trayvon Martin demonstrations, or going to as many congressional town halls as possible to make sure that members of Congress know that a lot of folks want to see comprehensive immigration reform passed. It's really just been super inspiring to look at the work, read the news clippings, see the emails and the pictures come in of all the work that's been happening out there in the states. And hopefully tonight we can kind of take that to the next level. If you've already been doing some of that organizing, then hopefully tonight we'll give you some ideas on how to really turn it on and get more folks to join you in the fall. Tonight, maybe if you've been someone who, like a lot of us do during the summer, maybe take a bit of a break, take a vacation, then hopefully tonight we'll be talking about how to get you back engaged and how to get you to actually become a leader again in your community and organizing and bringing progressive change about. Before we go too much further, I want to just stop and go over some norms. As many of you heard Jessica say, almost all of you are currently on mute to cut down on background noise. But there will definitely be several times throughout the call where you can either ask questions or give feedback here in the big group, and there will most certainly be several times tonight when you will be in small groups and be able to participate in conversations. And that leads me to my next norm, which is when you're in your small groups, definitely please participate. We can all learn from each other, and we're all great organizing resources. And I also want to just encourage folks to let's try to respect each other's time tonight. So that means please don't be shy about speaking up, but let's also try to be relatively brief so that way we can hear as many ideas from as many folks as possible. And that's going to be a norm that I try to stick to myself. And then lastly, let's all be really solution-oriented. This is a great opportunity to learn from each other, to hear from Congressman Ellison, to hear a lot of folks around the country who are doing great organizing. And let's try to take these lessons and apply them to our communities after this call tonight. So before we go too much deeper, what I'd like to do is just give us all a chance to just say hello to each other and introduce ourselves. And we're going to do that by going into groups of four. And we're going to do our best to actually keep you in these groups, these same small groups all night, so that way these conversations can be most productive. What we're going to do right now is we're going to go into groups of four for about 3 minutes. And once you're in them, please say your name, look your location where you're calling from tonight. And really quickly, just why are you calling in? What inspired you to get on this call tonight? So again, it's name, location, and what inspired you. And like I said, we only have 3 minutes, so be relatively brief. But this would be a good chance for us to kick the conversation off and get to know each other. And one person who I forgot to name who's helping out tonight is Joshua, who's helping with all the technical stuff tonight. So, Josh, could you let us know when we're ready to go into our groups? All right. Hello, everybody. This is Eric. We are now back in the big group, and I hope that was pretty interesting there. What I want to do right now is to pass it over to Anna to give some more detail and also to introduce Congressman Ellison.
Great. Thank you so much. Thank you again, Eric, for teeing us up, and I would have loved to be a fly on the wall on all the dozens, hundreds maybe, of small groups that were just happening there. So I'm Anna Galland. I'm MoveOn's executive director. Took over this position in January after many years working on different projects with MoveOn's councils and other aspects of our work, and I've just been so honored to have a chance to serve the membership that we have, including many of the folks here on the phone tonight. It's just, I think, one of the most dynamic and powerful communities of progressives in the country, folks who are taking action on issues local, state, and national, and I'm just incredibly inspired to be here with you. So, you know, looking forward to where we are in this moment in our country, Congress is about to return to Washington in not too long, and I think all of us together, as we are sort of looking at all the big changes that we need to see in our country, are thinking about what kinds of actions we can take to make a difference vis-a-vis, you know, what happens in Washington, as well, of course, as more locally in our communities. And this year, what we've done is to really make a concerted effort to provide the tools and the resources that we have had for years as a campaigning organization that has these top-notch tech tools and access to communities of progressives around the country. We're making those tools and resources available to our membership to really catalyze a wave of progressive action that can make us way more powerful than we have been even thus far. So we're providing tools and resources. We're encouraging every single member that we have around the country to launch their own campaign or to sort of power up the campaign that they have already going, that they're already involved in, and or to join with others in your community who are already fighting for progress. So we're going to talk more about that, Jess, and Eric will talk more about that later in the call, but I just want to underscore the way in which our current strategy relies on you to lead, and I'm inspired and grateful to see all the ways people are stepping into that challenge. So if you're like me, I think you will have spent the majority of the last 3 years being pretty frustrated with the Republican obstructionists in Congress. So in the House of Representatives, leadership, especially Speaker Boehner, have just stood in the way of, you know, important legislation like comprehensive immigration reform time and again, while then, of course, also simultaneously doing things like voting to defund Obamacare 40 times. And obviously the Senate torpedoed any chance at federal gun violence prevention reform earlier this year. So that's, I'm based in Michigan. I watch what's happening in Congress. I see Republicans just stopping progress like that again and again and again, sometimes aided by Democrats who are unwilling to stand up, and it just breaks my heart. I look at my two young girls who are 2 years old, and I think, you know, they're going to inherit this country, and these guys are just in the process of breaking it, or paralyzing, fixing it to the extent that it's already broken. So, you know, what can we do? Well, Congress has been in recess for much of the month of August, but when they return, they're going to be taking up some of the issues that we really care about, and we will need to make our voices heard. So this includes a couple of big things. Folks may have gotten an email from us today from Mark Crane on our team about the attacks on Obamacare that are coming from the grassroots right, and not just the grassroots right, but the well-funded right. The battle over immigration reform may heat up again, and of course, we will also expect to see new threats to the social safety net from the GOP and you know, terrible ideas about ways that we can further cut Social Security, cut into Medicare, other social programs that we should be expanding and strengthening, not cutting. So we have a lot of resources that you can start using to make your voice heard and to be in touch with your elected official. Not all of us are lucky enough to have Keith Ellison as our representative in Congress. And so, you know, this is one thing that we have always done is facilitate our members connecting to your member of Congress, your elected official, in a way that makes you more powerful than just you on your own. You can sort of stand with other MoveOn members. You can be heard. And, you know, we'll talk more about this in a few minutes, but we are really, I think, we're both lucky, and it's an essential part of our power that we don't have to go into these upcoming battles alone. There's this kind of interesting tension in our work right now. We both are asking all of our members to lead, and together we are stronger than we are alone. So there's kind of a dynamic tension there between leading and being part of a strong community, which I think is really part of our big power here. So I'm actually going to transition into Congressman Ellison speaking with us about what he sees. You know, there really are few more strong progressive allies that we have in Congress than Congressman Keith Ellison from the great state of Minnesota. And Congressman Ellison has been a leader on many issues, including protecting Social Security and advancing marriage equality, and we're just really grateful that he's taking time out of his very busy schedule tonight to, you know, be on a special call just for Move On members and our friends to hear his take on what we can expect when Congress returns and his suggestions or ideas about what we can do in our communities to help advance, you know, all the kinds of progressive change that we want to see. So Congressman, I'd love to just hand it over to you, and the prompt here is open-ended. You know, what do you expect when your colleagues and you return to Washington? And then what would you suggest to the incredibly devoted and skilled, you know, thoughtful folks that are joining us on the call here? What do you suggest that they can do to help make a difference in the kind of current political climate?
Well, thanks a lot. You know, what I expect is that we will be active, we will be engaged, and we will press in a persistent and patient way for the change that Americans deserve. You know, let me just point out, at this very hour, 50 years ago, Americans, just like us, were on the eve of the March on Washington, and people we're looking around our country, and we saw segregation signs. We saw people who could not sit where they chose to on a bus or sit on the lunch counter where they were entitled to as Americans. We saw people who were segregated, relegated, and limited in a whole range of ways that conflicts with what our national credo of liberty and justice for all is all about. And yet those Americans said that they weren't going to tolerate it, and they had every reason to be cynical. They had every reason to believe that America, which had been a slaveholding society and a segregated society for decades, they had every reason to believe that change couldn't happen. But you know what? They believed that it could. And so I guess you asked me what I expect. What I expect is that we would have 10% of the courage, commitment, fortitude, and dedication that those people had. Because if we have that, we will pass immigration reform. And we will raise the minimum wage for low-wage workers. And we will make sure that we do truly address student debt, and that we do something meaningful about the budgetary challenges that are facing us coming up right on September 30th. So, you know, I'm glad you asked me what I expect, because I expect that we will make cynicism something that is far behind us, not a part of our political dialogue, that we will embrace hope, because it takes courage to hope, because we know we can be disappointed if we hope, but we don't care. We're going to hope anyway, because that's what we believe in. So let me just say, what's coming up right in front of us when we get back out of the recess is a number of things. You mentioned immigration reform. I think that is one of the essential civil rights challenges of our time. We did pass a Senate bill. It does offer a pathway towards citizenship. It also offers some ugliness, too, putting literally billions of dollars into militarizing the border. But I'm going to vote for it anyway. Some of y'all might say, well, why would you do that? I'm going to tell you why. Because if you are among the 1,200 people being deported a day, or married to one, or the child of one, or something like that, you need a solution, and we're not going to let the perfect be the enemy of the good. We're going to move forward. But let me tell you, the House bill is basically stalled. We had a so-called gang of eight in the House, too, four Dems, four Republicans. There won't be a bipartisan bill offered in the House, because Boehner has been cowed into not doing that, but we do need to get something to conference, the main challenge to get something to conference There's going to be a national call out, a call to action on October 5th in your local community. I pray that MoveOn connects with that movement, because you guys can set it off in a big way. The Latino community has been leading the fight on this, but they're not the only people who need immigration reform. All Americans need immigration reform, because an undocumented worker is an exploited worker, and they wouldn't even be here unless somebody thought they could pay them less. So if we give everybody a status, that means we can organize those folks. That means those folks can complain about abuses of wages and hours and wage theft and things like that. And that means we can really start elevating and raising wages all across this country. So immigration reform is the key. Getting it to conference is the key. And October 5th, we're going to have mass mobilization all across this country. Progressive Caucus is going to be a part of it. I know that Move On will be too. And so that's one good thing. We got to move it to conference. We also have a discharge petition and a number of other important reforms. But immigration reform is something that with a massive turnout, we can change it. We've been demobilized on immigration reform. All of y'all remember those huge rallies that we had. They were awesome. But we kind of allowed the street heat to dissipate and said, okay, we're just going to let those members of Congress do it. Well, we haven't done it. Not in the House of Representatives anyway, so we need to remobilize. So that's a big deal. Need everybody's focused attention on that. The other thing coming up on September 30th is the end of the fiscal year. Right now, we have a demand. What we need most of all is that, you know, I'm going to be honest with you, some of these hardcore right-wingers, I don't know what we can do to them or for them, but one thing we can do is help the American people understand that it's not everybody in Congress who's being obstructionist. It is a well-defined group. We need to name them by names and help the American people make a good choice, because they think, oh, Congress is dysfunctional. No, the Tea Party right and John Boehner, who cannot lead them, are the dysfunctional ones and screwing up the whole country. And this is going to be very clearly highlighted on September 30th when these folks are threatening everything from defunding Obamacare and everything else in order to keep the government from closing down. And I want to say we're going to negotiate to keep the government open, but if these people have these prices like defunding Obamacare in order to keep the government open, then the government's not going to be open. And we're going to need Americans, Move On members all over this country to help highlight who really is forcing these destructive austerity cuts on the American people. So this is a critical thing facing us coming up right here, right now. Also, the Farm Bill. You know, there's always been this bargain between the folks who need farm subsidies and the folks who rely on food stamps that, you know, that those two things would travel together in the same Farm Bill. The community, the people who live in greater America, rural America, need the support of the urban folks, and the urban folks need the support of the folks in rural America. So these two parts of the Farm Bill have always traveled together. The Republicans have broke those two things. We need to increase the heat and talk about how we're going to have real social safety net reform in the form of a unified Farm Bill. And I'm going to tell you, we may not be able to do anything with this group of members of Congress, but we can highlight across this country how dysfunctional these people are behaving and destroying our country. Now, I just want to say, you know, activism is the key here. Activism is the key. Politicians see the light when they feel the heat. And so your role as grassroots advocates is absolutely indispensable. And so I just want to say that I think Move On is the leading grassroots organization in this country. Your participation makes all the difference. We've just got to be committed as people a generation before us were committed, and we will succeed. I'm just going to tell you, here in Minnesota, they told us a year ago that voter ID was going to pass easily. Well, it started out polling at 80% by the time we got to election day, because we didn't give a rip about anybody's polls. We fought this thing tooth and nail, and we defeated it at election time. Same thing with marriage inequality. They tried to bar marriage equality in our Constitution. Minnesotans of all diverse backgrounds, Republicans, Democrats, all kinds of folks, led by activists from Move On in Minnesota, helped defeat these things, and we can do it again nationally. So I just want to say, just to wrap up, you know, I really rely on you guys. Excellent work. You're awesome. I actually you all allowed me to use your petition system on the minimum wage, and we got over 80,000 signatures. That's a powerful statement that can garner public support, galvanize, and create a wave movement that I think can be enormously successful. A few other things I want to mention before we get off the phone, and that is, I think we all should remember that this bankruptcy problem that Detroit is in right now is not just a Detroit problem. It's a problem for every municipality in the country. The truth is, these pensioners make about $19,000 a year on their pensions that they worked for, earned, and now they're being looked at as the problem, the barrier between Detroit's solvency problems. And so I think we need to, as a nation, step up and say, if we're going to do something for Ford, GM, and Chrysler, what are we going to do about the pensioners who have served so much and done so much and only are looking for a very small ability to make it? And we need to look at all of our the municipal bond rates that will skyrocket if the help is not given, and we all need to think about what we do about Detroit, because we can't allow what used to be the nation's fourth largest city simply to go by the wayside, and the low-income pensioners who work and earn for those pensions. I mean, we all got to see how, you know, Detroit is the canary in the coal mine, and I'm telling you this as a Minneapolis legislator. I'm worried about every city in this country if we allow this to happen to Detroit. So from the bottom of my heart, I want to say to every single Move On member, you guys are absolutely awesome. You are the ones who are unreasonable. You don't care about the odds. You care about right and wrong, and you fight for that. You know, and let me tell you, if you fight hard, you can beat the odds. And anytime reporters ask me, oh, well, what are the odds of this passing, and what are the odds of that passing? I'm like, look, I don't know. It all depends upon our level of activism. If we fight for it, we get it. If we don't fight for it, we don't. That's the odds. So, look, you guys, whether it's the minimum wage, whether it's immigration, or whether it's a fair budget, we Americans deserve better than the Tea Party Republicans have been giving them, and it's up to the activists who truly believe in the greatness of this country to make it all happen. So thank you guys for allowing me to participate in the call. Love you sincerely, and consider me one of your very, very sincere supporters.
Congressman Ellison, you are great. I'm sure if we were not on mute on an enormous conference call, you'd be hearing people clapping and shouting and saying, hear, hear. I want to pretty quickly get into questions that people have posed for Congressman Ellison. I'm going to turn it over to my colleague, Eric, to get into those questions. Just before I do just want to underscore one thing that the Congressman said, which is, you know, the most inspiring thing to me about Move On members for years and years now has been this kind of way that, as the Congressman said, you know, people work on what's right and what's wrong. That's what motivates them. We're not in this for some sort of partisan political hackery. We're not in this for some, you know, personal gain. People are sort of on the phone tonight. They're out in the streets in other weeks. They're on their email banging out petitions, getting people signing, organizing, recruiting people to join their cause, because that's the only way that we actually preserve this fragile democracy. It's the only way that we actually beat back moneyed special interests. It's the only way that we break the logjam, that we figure out how to pass a humane budget in Washington and on the state level and on the local level, how we begin to tackle climate change, how we begin to tackle the problem of economic inequality in this country, and so much more. And so, yes, hear, hear to the the praise that the Congressman just heaped on Move On members. I'm right there with you, and just so grateful for your leadership in Washington, because it does take, you know, one reason why we work on elections is that we believe we deserve excellent leaders, and we're grateful for your leadership.
Thank you, ma'am.
So let me pass it over to Eric to pose some questions, some really thoughtful questions from our members for the Congressman.
Yes, Congressman, we just have a few questions here that folks submitted here before the call. Lots of them very good. All of them very good, actually. The first one here is from a gentleman named Will Martin, and he's wondering, you know, for folks out there who are very passionate, who really care about the issues, but maybe they live in a very conservative area, regardless of whether they're represented by a Republican or a Democrat, what can they do to still make their voices heard and really feel like they're really contributing to these fights that we're in right now?
Reach out on a person-to-person basis on issues that there's common agreement on. So, for example, even if you're in a conservative area, I guarantee you people are upset about stagnant wages and the fact that people aren't getting paid right. People are concerned about local issues. They're concerned that are affecting them from, like just child care issues, might be a local pollution issue. Reach out locally. Reach out on a person-to-person level. And let me just say, so many districts across this country, the turnout is very low. And so I get frustrated with the conventional party system, even my own, because basically we just talk to each other. We don't try to expand the electorate. We need to expand the conversation. You know, my district, our real key is voter turnout and engaging people who really aren't involved because they either don't know the value of participation or they're cynical about it and they don't believe in it. Well, you, as a personal ambassador, who can say, look, we can do something about this. Enthusiasm is contagious, folks. If you say, I'm not going to stand by and take a minimum wage that's basically, that has the purchasing power of the minimum wage of 1968, we are going to organize around it. We're going to do coffee clashes. We're going to go door to door. We're going to do local stuff, on grassroots issue where there is common agreement. You will build that base, and what you'll do is you'll change the politics of your community. You may not want to go deal with the big hairy issues all of a sudden. You might not want to take on, the issues that are the real, really tough ones right off the bat. Start on common agreement and start on local issues. Start on things that matter, and that is one way to build. Now, if you do feel compelled to work on the big issues, find the arguments that are persuasive. Like in Minnesota, we were faced with a crisis. We couldn't just pick an issue. The issue was foisted upon us. They were trying to put in our Constitution that two people who love each other couldn't get married to each other, which is garbage. The government should not be in the business of matchmaking. That's your business. But we didn't try to persuade people that homosexuality was okay. Because I believe that's true, but other people don't. So what we try to just say, do you believe love is okay? Do you believe, no matter what you believe, no matter what your religious background might be, do you believe that an individual adult ought to make a choice for their own life? What's marriage about anyway? It's not about procreation. Some married people have kids. Some married people don't. What every marriage is about is love, though. And even the most conservative person can understand that. And so we reached out on the big issue, on the basis of things we did agree on, which is that marriage is about love. So even that way, we found the common ground. But don't be afraid to talk. People don't write anybody off. Don't believe that when people tell you no the first time that it's going to be no the third and fourth and fifth time. It takes persistence. And just remember, people before you fought long and hard for things that they believed in and they won. I mean, let me just close on this point about the question. Good things happen all the time. It's more realistic to be hopeful than to be pessimistic and cynical. Because if you were pessimistic and cynical, you'd believe segregation would always be here, and you'd believe that women would never get the right to vote. But both things were overcome. And so who's more realistic, the cynic or the optimist? I think the optimist. Good things happen all the time because people don't stand for oppression. We're going to get immigration reform, and we're going to get it with the cynic's help or without it. But be hopeful and optimistic. It has ability to be catchy. So thanks for the question.
Actually, if I could just add on to one thing that I heard from the congressman, which made a ton of sense to me. People may not know that in a state like Alabama, which we all, regardless of where you live, including my friends in Alabama, think of as a pretty red state, MoveOn
Yep.
members built up one of what we understand to be the biggest list of pro-immigration reform advocates,
Whoa.
People who believe in immigration reform, because of terrific organizing that was done by MoveOn members and our allies around a very specific state issue. I think it was driver's licenses for undocumented
Yep.
students in the state. And so what I think that shows, and there are MoveOn council leaders around the country who could attest to this as well, that there's organizing that can be done on very specific state issues, whether you're in a red state or a blue state, that will allow you to build capacity, that will build you a community of people that care about some common values, you know, the sort of core common values that progressives share about taking care of each other, about fighting for a just society, that, you know, we can build up from the base of state and local issues, even in places where you think your member of Congress, based on what they say, would never ever join us on anything. I think the onus is on us to build our capacity by finding those issues that resonate in our state that we can organize on that are progressive causes, and we build from there. It's a longer term project, but it's building from there. And then the other one quick sort of thing I want to say is a friend said to me today, you know, if you guys have done your, you know, studied your history recently, you would know that the temperance movement started as local town resolutions all over the country, and everyone thought it was crazy. And within a couple years, they had a constitutional amendment. So it's a reminder that in our history, there are many examples of this, of building from the local level to the point that it sort of swamped the conventional wisdom of what was possible at the national level. And I think that's part of what we're doing here.
Good lessons.
And we have another question here, one more, and that really leads really well into this. And it's Greg Zaman is wondering, how do we cut through this noise machine and all the lies that we've already faced and we're going to be facing, I'm sure, a lot more going into the fall? So what's the best way that we can make sure that the truth still gets out and that folks aren't overwhelmed with all the stuff that they may be hearing from the other side?
Well, you know, the truth depends upon people telling it. You know, I got to tell you, you know, in my job as a member of Congress, I commonly hear people say the following: how come nobody is saying anything about X, Y, Z, you name it, immigration, campaign finance reform? You know, the bottom line is, you know, we need progressives to take communication on as a personal responsibility. We are no longer in the era where we have to rely on some quote-unquote leader to articulate our issues for us. We all have a responsibility to articulate what's right. So you can send out a 140-character message to as many people as you can get to follow you on Twitter. You can get on Facebook. You can get on anything you want. You can show us a picture on Instagram or Vine or whatever. Look, we live in an age where you can communicate. And so we've got to take personal responsibility for our communication. Now, look, we're not Republicans. We're not going to be able to just repeat the exact same mantra the same way they can. I don't believe progressives should try to parrot Republican communication techniques, but we all can deliver the same message. We all can, you know, deliver the message in a way that makes sense to us and the people around us. So what I say, how do you beat the lie machine? By talking and getting the message out, saying it the way it makes sense to you, saying it the way it makes sure the sense to the people you know. But say it is my individual personal responsibility to make sure that everybody around me, my sewing club, my bowling club, my church group, my mosque group, my synagogue, that they know what the real truth is about the Affordable Care Act, and that all these lies that they tell about it are not true. I'm going to make sure that the people who show up at my book club know the real deal on the Affordable Care Act. And I might not be able to talk to everybody, but I can talk to them. And so that is how we push forth the truth and beat back the lies, individual communication, but it starts with claiming responsibility for that message. And then read the stuff that Move On is. If you don't know exactly what to say, Move On is putting messages out all the time. They're giving you instructionals on how to sell it. And so read the stuff that they're giving you, and then you put it in your own words and talk to your own circle.
That's great. Thank you so much, Representative Ellison. Just to underline that last bit, if you're not already a fan, if you haven't already liked Move On Facebook, if you haven't liked Representative Ellison on Facebook, I encourage you to do so, and that'll put these, you know, tidbits of interesting news items and counter arguments when there's distortions being put out there by the media, that'll sort of put that into your Facebook stream. You know, we have an initiative that we're just launching as of today that folks will have seen in your email box earlier today, you know, to counter the very malicious campaign that right-leaning groups are doing right now to try and take down Obamacare. We need to counter that, and that's a messaging war as much as anything else. I do want to transition to the next part of the call. So,
okay, thanks a lot, you guys.
To wrap it up, any final words, and then we'll
you know all all I want to say is 50 years ago, 50 years ago right now, people were gathering on near the Lincoln Memorial to make America better. What are we doing in this generation to push the ball even further toward making a more perfect union? Plenty of work to do. Let's do it. Let's have the courage of our ancestors, and let's make this country a better place for our kids and our grandkids. Peace out, everybody. Thank you.
Beautiful. Thank you so much for joining us. Really appreciate it. And I'm going to throw it over to Eric to take us into the next section of the call. And I will be dropping off at this point. So if there are, you know, I'll be getting good notes from Eric and Jess about what we discussed here and look forward to continuing the conversation in other places. So Eric, back over to you.
Thank you, Etta, and thanks again to Congressman Ellison. And I'll just say it, I'm extremely fired up right now. And I think that was a perfect transition. Congressman Ellison talked about the different resources that MoveOn provides to help you get your voice out there. And I'm going to toss it over to my colleague, Jess Stein, now, talk a little bit more detail about those.
Hey, everybody. Thanks so much, Eric. That's a tough act to follow right there. So I'm not going to try. But this is what I want to say. The congressman just gave us a huge challenge. He called us out. What is our generation doing? 50 years ago, they were standing on the National Mall about to march on Washington. What are we doing? How are we making an impact and creating the change and working on issues like immigration and Social Security and actually protecting them and passing them? And you know, he challenged us to do 10% of the courage and the hope that they had 50 years ago. I think we can do better. Politicians will see the light when they feel the heat, and it's up to each of us to create that heat and create that change. So I want to tell you for just a quick minute about what we at MoveOn do, as well as what the congressman was talking about when he said he started a petition here at MoveOn. MoveOn, the NAACP, Representative Ellison, the ACLU have all launched campaigns on the MoveOn.org petition site. And the really cool thing is that you can use the exact same tools they did, and we'll give you access to start a campaign just like that. So you can make the same kind of change that Representative Ellison was talking about. The easiest way to make that change is to start a petition. And the reason why is because that petition is going to be an online way to help you build a base and gather supporters that you can then take and turn into an on-the-ground or more of an online campaign, something to actually get us started. Representative Ellison talked about that we live in the generation that uses online communication, Facebook, Twitter, that it's up to us to be getting that message out, and I totally agree. And the goal of the Move On Petition tool is to give you that tool to get that started, so that you can use the online and internet to help you get on the ground, making that change, putting heat on our politicians like the representative just challenged us to do. You can find that on the MoveOn.org website, and it's just the starting point, like I said. We also provide resources that can help you get more signatures, post it on your social networking sites, contact other organizations, write letters to the editor, organize a rally, call your targets. We have on-the-phone trainings and big secret news right now. We're working on some MoveOn organizing summits this fall where we'll be getting members, yourself invited, across the country together to talk about your campaigns, get trained for your campaigns, and to launch them with other MoveOn members all over the country. We'll update you over email as that develops in the next couple weeks. But the best thing that we can do right now is to each go start a petition in our community. And together, all those petitions are going to create a big collective voice. That's our wave across the country that then we can take to actually make that change, put on that heat. So what if other groups are working on the same issue or have already started a campaign or a petition? That's great. And it's still strategic and really smart to start one, an ally or supporting petition in your community. Why? Because there are lots of different specific elected officials or local decision makers. And the more petitions we can have that target individual different decision makers, even on the same issue, the more heat we can create. And all those different petitions together create a loud, powerful voice that politicians are going to hear. So I want to take a minute to see if anybody has any questions about MoveOn's tools, MoveOn's campaign tools, or any other trainings that we provide. And I can answer those. So press 1 on your phone if you have a question, or press 2 if you have a campaign you already started and you want to know how to take it to the next level. And we can call on some people. So 1 if you have a question, Two, if you have a campaign you started and want to know how you can use Move On to take it to the next level. And we're going to go ahead and call on a couple people here. Josh, do you want to call on somebody for us, if you don't mind?
Sure. Let's go to Jeffrey.
This phone, I'm not sure which Jeffrey. Jeffrey in Chicago?
This is you. Yes, how
are
you?
Hi, how are you doing? Thank you for everything.
Go ahead.
The question I have is, it's like I'm so beyond everything that we're talking about, and it's all about it's like the lowdown for the politicians. I need, like, maybe I'm not smart enough, or maybe I don't have the information, or I don't know how to get it. I want the lowdown on politicians, so when they have, like, town hall meetings, they have these things, they come back into the communities, and they go, hey, let's talk. You know, and then I sit in there, and I go, hey, well, you know, and then I know this guy's a Tea Party Republican, you know, and I just need more lowdown on how they vote so I can call them out at these meetings, and then everyone else there could get in line with what's going on. It's basically
Totally. No,
go ahead.
I was going to say there's so much that politicians are doing that, yeah, we definitely, it's hard to figure out exactly everything that they're voting for so that at a town hall you could call them out on all of that and actually have all the facts to present it with when there's such a wide variety of issues. I don't have a perfect answer for that, but two tips that I've come across over the years. One is there's a bunch of really good resources out there that can help with this. Thomas.gov is a great resource, as well as fellow MoveOn members, actually. And one thing that I found to be really helpful in those types of moments is not to go to a town hall alone. And the best way to not go to a town hall alone, but instead to go with a bunch of people who maybe all have different expertise, like I know a lot about climate change. My really good friend Alejandro knows everything you could possibly want to know about immigration. The best way to end up where everybody knows about it is to actually go with a big group of people, and that's also going to put more pressure on your target right there. And we have a tool here at MoveOn where you can post a town hall and actually invite other MoveOn members in your area for you. It's our event system, and if you go to MoveOn.org to the homepage, there's a link to it there. You can also email help@MoveOn.org, and we'll send you that link directly. But that would be one thing I would say is don't go alone, or get that group of people together beforehand to talk about and break up the research. Like, you research the immigration stuff, you research the climate change stuff, meet before the town hall, and then go there like super prepared, super ready to go. And like the congressman said, it's up to all of us to kind of bring that heat. But thanks for flagging that, Jeffrey. I feel the same way. It's like, how do we know where they exactly are all the time? So I'm really glad that you brought that up. We only got 10 minutes left here, so I'm going to move us to another question. But thanks for going first, Jeffrey, and that was a really good one. I'm going to go to Michelle, who started a petition already and wants to take it to the next level. How's it going, Michelle?
Hi. I am having a bit of a problem, and I actually contacted Move On about this last week and got an email back from them. I think it was Friday. So I'm in Florida, and I'm fighting fracking. So I'm fighting Rick Scott and this miserable legislature, and this is going to be a really tough fight, and it's going to take a while. And so I want to do more than just, like, you know, link with people online. I mean, I can write. I mean, I want to put notices in local media. I can do a lot of different things. I mean, whatever sort of strikes me is the best way to promote. I want to talk to my synagogue, the congregation, and so I realized, okay, and, oh yes, and I've called like health food stores and, you know, organic restaurants. They're like, oh yeah, just, you know, send it over. And then I realized, wait, we've got this problem. You got this link that's like 6 inches long, So I wrote and I said, you know, can you please put the petition like on the front page, the home page? Excuse me, I'm really like new to the new to this. The home page of MoveOn.org, so I can just say to people, go to MoveOn.org. It's called No Fracking in Florida or whatever. Don't Frack Florida. And so that's what I asked for, and I got this, you know, reply saying that, well, our members choose what petitions go on the home page, and your petition hasn't been chosen. And
so I can tell you a little bit more about that, and you brought up a really, really, really good point. So first of all, Michelle, you have an organizer instinct. I just want to flag that. Talking to your synagogue, calling health food stores, like getting other people involved, that is totally exactly what you should be doing. And I wanna say, you know, I think that a petition is a tool in a campaign, right? It's a great starting point. It builds you a base. But you have to take that petition, and it's up to us as organizers to branch out and use it to actually create on-the-ground change. So thanks for using that gut instinct there, Michelle. It's really great. And then as to how it works, one really cool thing Michelle just flagged is, okay, so you've started this petition. That's great. How do we get it with the broader Move On membership? Well, once you hit 20 signatures, so you go get your family, friends, people you know, put it on Facebook. Once you hit 20 signatures, we'll send it out to 1,000 Move On members. And when it gathers more signatures from that 1,000, we'll keep sending it out to Move On members in larger quantities based on, you know, kind of how many people sign it first. So members actually decide what we keep sending out. And it's an automated system in that way, which is really cool. And if you ever have questions about where your petition is in that cycle, you should definitely email help@moveon.org or help@petitions.org, either one. And we will, our great support core team will tell you kind of where we are in that process. But I want to leave it with a big emphasis. We have that to connect Move On members to your petition. At the end of the day, though, it's your campaign. And we are here to help. So we can provide training in person and on the phone. We can provide one-on-one coaching. If you email help@moveon.org, they'll hook you up with our strategy coach to help you figure out the next steps in that campaign that can help get more signatures, that can help it blow up and become the top petition at Move On, and then it will end up on the front page. But we have, you know, 50,000 petitions in the system right now, which is fantastic. And so the way we figure out exactly which one we highlight at what moment is based on the energy, and that's partially by your organizing, and we can help you do that, and also partially by member energy. And right now, fracking is one of our top campaigns, so I'm really glad that that's what you're working on, Michelle. And if you're not plugged in with Vicky, Victoria, and the fracking team, definitely email help@moveon.org, and we can hook you up with her too. So I think it's, you know, two great puzzles. We give you the tools and resources to organize it and run it, and we also are there hand in hand the whole time to give you the access to the Move On members as best as we can along the way. So I just want to say thanks for starting that petition. We have about 5 minutes left, so I want to turn it over to Eric, and then I think we'll, you know, bring it back to small groups into some more questions, I think at the end, but Eric can tell us on that. So Eric, take it away.
Yeah, I just wanted to, before we get to the top of the hour, since I know a lot of folks have to drop at that point, I just wanted to say a few things. First of all, more than anything, just thank you all for getting on tonight's call, and thanks for everybody who submitted questions before the call, which kind of helped shape the agenda, and to those of you who just raised questions just now. Just as far as next steps, I know a lot of times folks get on calls, and the call is great, but you leave the call wondering, okay, what do I actually do, like, put for this call? And it's pretty simple. First of all, if you don't actually have your own campaign, if you haven't actually started your own petition, go do that. It's easy. It's the easiest thing in the world. All you have to do is go to moveon.org, and there's a big button you can just click on. And also, I'll be sending you an email on first thing Friday morning, which will have a link to it, to the petition start page. But I would really encourage folks, just go to moveon.org, and I'm sure there's an issue you care about. I'm 100% sure there is, because you were on this call, and we all just heard from Congressman Ellison. And I know we're all fired up, and so just go do that. If you already have your own petition, if you already have your own campaign, and I know that there's a lot of folks on this call who do, then I would encourage you to either reach out to us to find out about future trainings by emailing us at help@moveon.org, or, you know, just go log into your petition page by going to moveon.org and just look at all the tools. I heard someone mention that they wanted to write and put messages out. Well, we have a letter to the editor tool. We have a call alert tool. We can ask folks to call your elected officials. And oftentimes people start petitions, but they don't go back and look at their own page, so they don't know about all these great resources we have. So I would really encourage you, if you already have your campaign, to go revisit it and see what else you could do. As for next steps, my absolute best wish coming out of this call is I would love to be able to call Congressman Ellison's office on Friday and say, hey, we have 50 new people start campaigns because of that, because of your words. And that will be just perfect to me, and I really hope that you all help us all get to that goal of really starting the end of the summer and the fall off in the right way. And so I want to do a couple of things right here. First of all, I'd like for us all, Jess, do you think we should go back into small groups here?
Let's take a vote. If you would like to go back into small groups after the call-in so you can talk with other people about your campaign or about the call, press 1 on your phone right now.
And once again, that's press 1 if you would like to go back into your small groups to talk a little bit more about the campaign you'd be interested in, and or to talk about the call. All right. And so I think what I'm seeing here, and correct me if I'm wrong, folks, is that it looks like most folks are in favor here of actually going ahead and wrapping things up. Oh, wait. Yeah, my screen may be updating, so Jess, could you just let me know what you're seeing?
Yep. So I think definitely we're going to wrap up the call, but if you want to stay in a small group, we can leave you in some small groups to talk about next steps in your campaign. So stick on the phone and we'll do that. And Eric, if you want to wrap us, go for it.
Yes. So if you're interested in staying in small, growing the small groups, then just stay on the call. And for the rest of us, what we're going to do is on the count of 3, we'll all just say goodnight to each other. And if you want to go ahead and drop, then you can drop after that. So Josh, could you count us down to, or count us up, I guess, to 3? Good night, everybody.
Good night, everyone.
Good night, everybody.
Aloha.
Good night. Good night.
Aloha.
Bye-bye. All right. And everyone, for anybody who's still on the call, if you wanted to go into a small group, just be patient for a second. We'll try to arrange that.